Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Call Talk. First off, this show was originally recorded live at our call center campus event back in October of 2011. And from that, I narrowed it down into three segments that really capture the spirit of the event. The first segment delves into the challenges of customer satisfaction with some fascinating lessons from Plato Learning based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The second segment focuses on how to turn around agent satisfaction with case study insights from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida. And the third segment is our 20 Ideas in 20 Minutes exercise, which gives you some great best practice tips from the call center managers who participated in our call center campus. So there's a lot coming your way. Let's get to the show. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us for Call Talk this October 12th, 2011, where we're broadcasting live from the New York Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Carrington, and I'm real excited that you're joining us as this marks a special event for Benchmark Portal, Call Center Campus. As an extension of our College of Call Center Excellence, for the last couple days, we've held courses in quality assurance, workforce management, and manager certification. But to round it all off tonight, we have an executive roundtable and networking night where we hope to share some best practices from around the country with you, our listeners at Call Talk. So, as you can tell, it's a little bit noisy down here, so let's head upstairs where joining us in the conference room is Bruce Belfiore with some of our guest speakers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Call Talk. We're recording live today from Call Center Campus in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Thursday, October 12th. And with me is Matt Conant, who is from Plato Learning and who gave a inspirational talk today about his center's journey through some very interesting times, Matt. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
One of the things, Matt, that really struck me was that you had this sort of dissonance between what the people in the center thought they were doing and how it was perceived by your customer group. The customers were dissatisfied, but when you looked at the folks inside the center, they seemed well-intentioned and they seemed like they felt they were doing the right thing. And so you kind of had to sort that out, first of all, and find out why that was the case. Because, you know, it was sort of you had one thing on one hand and then a totally different thing that you were experiencing on the other hand.
Yes.
How did you sort of sort through that?
Well, you know, I had a good perspective of not being part of the call center when I came into the organization. So seeing the customer's feedback and perceptions from that side firsthand, so knowing that it wasn't just hearsay or just feedback from someone, I saw it firsthand. And so when I got to the call center and saw the behaviors of the call center and being managed like a call center, that was as surprising to me as it was as part of the process, just knowing that the agents themselves were really dedicated in what they were doing and really thought they were doing all the right things. The management team thought they were measuring all the right aspects. So seeing that, it was a quandrum, like, why is this not happening? So spent a lot of time understanding why that behavior was. And part of it was our change in our business model was changing, and that was part of that change. So how we got to it was listening to agents and the customers. So really going a layer below and say, what are we doing that's not effective to our customers? And I spent a lot of time with the agents themselves, listening to them and hearing their feedback and what was working on their measurements for them, how they felt maybe that the measurements weren't effective in helping the customers. So the agents themselves had some of the answers. Mm. And, of course, our customers had the answers as well. They were easily willing to give us feedback on how we could improve. So taking those two combinations and deciding that we really needed to focus on changing the call behavior itself. And it sounds really simple once you start back and look backwards, but made little simple changes like when you're introducing yourself on the call, asking them what their issue was before you ask them who they were and what company they were from.
Right.
And little changes like that changed the behaviors of the customer because it felt like we were really concerned, and we were concerned about what their issues were. And changing that call process behavior became the the change that we really need to make.
One of the things that you said that really struck me, and it was the side-by-sides. In other words, sitting with the agents and listening to the calls made such a big difference. In other words, you learned from that. And I know that when I go into a center, the first thing I like to do is to listen to calls even before talking to management, if possible, because then you have a much better idea of what the call center is all about.
Yes.
And so by listening and actually seeing where the problems were in process, procedures, you know, the way you had trained people.
Yes.
Right?
This is
the voice. This is what came out. Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so finding the voice of the agent wasn't aligning to the expectation of the customer, and how we spoke to the customer needed to change. And it wasn't that the agents didn't want to do that. They just didn't know how to do it. And the expectations that were trained to them earlier were different than what we were trying to accomplish. And, we talk about sitting down at an agent desk. Even that in the beginning, it was foreign to them. And it made them nervous that I was sitting next to them and listening to their calls. And that in itself was sort of surprising. Like, how do you not have someone have that experience? And so, from 3 years ago where they were nervous to today where I'm having CFO and a CEO sitting next to an agent, and they're completely comfortable with that and proud of the fact that they can have others sit next to them and listen to what they do, is a complete change in behavior and acceptance of what they do on a daily basis. And that's part of that whole change, is what we do really does make a difference, and I'm willing to share that with you. Was a transformation for the agents.
Wow. And not only is it important, but it's so important that the CFO and the CEO are willing to sit down and do it. So they become part of the process, and it also shows the agent that they are, and it's true, right? They are the voice of the company.
Yes.
While they're talking to the customer. It's not the CFO. It's not the CEO. They can be as good as they can be, but
yes.
If you don't have good relationship that's being built at the actual caller level, it doesn't mean anything.
And I can say I'm very fortunate in that regards, because the people that I report to, my VP and CEO, were supportive of all these changes. They knew they needed to make those changes in the investment, and that helped. So that was, having that backing as we made these changes, and knowing that it might have a dip in our customer experience as we went through these changes, they understood that and they were aware of it and they supported it. That was a big, big part of our change process.
Okay, great. Well, these change processes are so important. Matt, we really appreciate the fact that you shared this important moment, or really period in the life of your call center. And congratulations for having accomplished it, and thank you very much for sharing it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So once again, you're listening to Call Talk live from the New York Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas. We're glad that you could join us here on Call Talk so that we could share with you some of the great ideas and, of course, challenges and accomplishments of some call centers from around the country. At this point, let's head back upstairs into the conference room and join Bruce with another one of our guest speakers.
Welcome back to Call Talk, everyone. We're very happy to be here on the campus of Call Center campus in Las Vegas. And I'm talking with Chuck Sardiani, who is with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida. So welcome, Chuck.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Okay. Well, Chuck, one of the things that you were talking about was the agent satisfaction situation that you confronted when you came into the situation at Blue Cross Blue Shield, and how you were able to sort of first understand it, and then second, do something about it with pretty dramatic results. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, one of the things was obviously to recognize that we had a situation and how that actually was going to tie back to performance. With the help of Benchmark Portal, that connectivity became very obvious when your team came in and allowed us to embrace the red, as we like to call it, around Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and that is to embrace the opportunities to make things better. So your team did come in, allowed us to come in and take a look at our organization and ways to improve, and gave us transparency to solutions. And we embraced those and very quickly put those into play, and very interestingly enough, but very well measured and metrics the improvement nearly immediately, but over the course of the year, mm-hmm. had a 500% increase in our agent satisfaction, which we're very, very excited about.
Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. And what were some of the things that you did that resulted in the agents feeling better about their jobs and therefore indicating higher satisfaction?
A lot of it was very much engaged around letting the agents feel more part of the team, and also that they did influence the outcome of their day and influence the outcome of their job. So it was really putting together things such as agent councils and giving them a two-way feedback communication vehicle for them to be able to provide that feedback to management and get them lasered and focused on the same initiatives and same goals that management has.
Mm. Yeah, I think that one of the things that's interesting that we see is that sometimes there's an open door policy on the part of management, but there's no real structure to manage change.
Correct.
So therefore, you go in and you talk and maybe get something off your chest, but nothing ever happens as a result of that. By setting up these committees, these structures, and making sure that they had senior-level support, which really came from you,
yes,
that meant that there was actual follow-through.
Very much so, and it was measured in metrics. And we also took a look at things that were working, and we tried to, on a daily basis, recognize the wins. And that has really created a very positive environment for them. And things that are still opportunities, we like to recognize and also provide them immediate feedback rather than letting it linger and not get handled or addressed appropriately. And they've actually got an appreciation for that, and it's not been a negative in any way, but a true positive.
Mm. Actually, there's a, could be a seeming disconnect between having your philosophy, which is it's a continuous process.
Yes.
And therefore, as you said, are we there yet? The answer is no. Okay. On the one hand, and still having people somehow feel satisfied with attaining goals. So you have to sort of celebrate the wins, as you call them,
yes.
right? The wins along the way,
yes.
even though the way continues.
Correct.
Right?
I mean, it's, as we talked earlier in our presentation here today, that it is truly a journey and not a destination. So the wins that we recognize and acknowledge occurred today, but there are certain new wins and victories for tomorrow and moving into the future. And quite frankly, I like to tell my team that, yes, you can look at trend lines, but there's a good reason why the windshield on a vehicle is much larger than the rearview mirror. And we like to look forward and move forward with those particular goals and initiatives to make sure we're looking out front, learn from our past, but not a lot that we can do to influence that.
Okay, great. And really, you've got great reporting, and you showed that today as well, to show the rearview mirror.
Absolutely.
But also really looking to the future. How can you make that future even better than the past?
We like to learn from what's occurred, but help it to really sculpt and make us better for the future. So, mm-hmm. And we do it with the help of you as our business partners, and we appreciate that.
Okay. Well, Chuck, thank you very much. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to working with you again in the future.
Very good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. And once again, we are broadcasting live from the New York Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas. A little noisier down here, a lot of action going on, but there's action upstairs as well. And as promised, we want to share some best practices with you from call center managers from around the country. Our next event is a brainstorming session we call 20 in 20, 20 ideas in 20 minutes. So let's go ahead and listen in right now. All right, I'm going to ask everyone to find their way to their table, please. And we'll have a master brainstorming session and really start sharing some ideas together. And we've got so much experience in this room, we're hoping to bring some ideas out from everyone. And especially maybe a couple from you, Joe. You promise. Come on.
I don't speak English.
Tonight you do. Think about something that your call center has done that has led to success. And there's no real official start except for right now. Who's got the first idea to kick it off? Something your center does really well. Something you guys do really good. Hold on. Let me bring the mic over. Introduce yourself, where you're from, and your great idea. Okay.
Catherine Martin with from Employers. And we do Fun Fridays every Friday. Lenyetta and myself She's from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm actually local here in Vegas. And we shut down our call centers here in Vegas for half an hour. And we get off the phone and team build for half an hour. And then she'll tag team and shut down her call center for half an hour and team build. And we play games, interact, and we team build and have fun.
We alternate, so it's not a complete shutdown. So when she has her fun Friday, my team handles the calls. When I have fun Friday, her team handles the calls.
And it's teamwork and collaboration.
Now, what have you guys seen? What's helped from that? What kind of success have you seen from it?
Rapport, morale, and we also, one of their core values is they had to incorporate one of employers' core values into their fun Friday goal. Teamwork, personal fulfillment, collaboration and teamwork. So they had to have a activity around that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very good idea, Catherine. Thank you so much. All right. Anyone else? Let's keep this rolling. Very good idea.
Someone over there?
Yeah, I'm coming over.
Who was it? Where? Okay, hold on. Let me get you the mic.
So we do a very similar thing. We love to do team building. We've had a lot of games. And every month we have a team building activity. We also have a lot of fun recognizing people. We also do a lot of communication in our department. So there's a lot of visual action going on, so they know what we're focused on. So that's pretty exciting for us.
All right. Thank you. That's Lori Anderson, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Florida. Very good. Very good ideas. Anyone else? Anyone? No, we've talked so far a lot about the agent side of it and keeping those agents happy. Well, what do you have for us? Please announce yourself and where you're from.
Teresa Bodie, Teachers Credit Union out of South Bend, Indiana. Being a credit union in our call center, I mean, part of our responsibilities and goals is sales referrals, product and sales referrals. So, you know, we weren't being too successful with that when they're concentrating on abandon rates and getting the callers on and off the phone and that kind of thing. So we had one of our supervisors who came up with ideas with referrals. They actually get poker chips. So they get poker chips for each referral. They save those poker chips up, and then they can buy things. You know, they can say they get, you know, TCU bucks where they can buy logo wear. They can buy dress down days. So, you know, there can be any time of the week when the whole call center is stressed down, you know, not just on Fridays, but, I mean, any time they want. They're doing very well. So, I mean, we've exceeded expectations in sales probably for the last year and a half. So they do very well.
Wow.
Very successful.
Very good results there. Employee incentive being the key there. All right. Who's next? Introduce yourself. And where are you from?
Michael Jackson from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wait, Michael?
Michael.
Nice. Okay.
And basically what we do is another agent satisfaction item. If there's an agent that has an interest or a background in a particular area, we basically have like a job sharing, created a job sharing program. For instance, I have a person who has a degree in HR, but she didn't have practical experience. So I have her working 2 days a week down in the HR department, receiving practical experience.
Very good. You're motivating your employees to excel in themselves. That's nice. And what kind of results have you seen from doing that?
Well, they were disgruntled before and feeling burned out and nowhere to go. So it gives them a sense of hope that they now have a career path and a ladder and a life besides the phone.
Together, you succeed. That's very good. I like it. Michael, thank you very much. Great idea. Great idea. All right. Who's next? Brag about your center. What are you guys doing great? What have you guys found some success with?
Hi, I'm Dennis Claffey. I'm with Citizens Energy Group in Indianapolis. One of the things that we heard from our folks was we're inflexible. The call center, our folks don't get to do all the good things that everybody else gets to do. They see people wander in and wander out at all kinds of different times, and they have to be on the phones, and they have to be there at a certain time, and they have to be logged on until a certain time. One of the things that we were able to do is what we call seasonal scheduling. We're in the gas business. We're in the heating business in Indianapolis. So in the summer months, our call volumes drop. In the winter months, our call volumes are higher. So it gives us an opportunity to have more people out of the office in the summertime. So we allow our folks to take up to 6 weeks off paid time, sort of the same concept as a teacher that has a summer off. They're still getting a check during the summer months, but they have their salaries reduced over the year with a six-week schedule. We reduce it by 11.54%. We reduce their PTO bank or paid time off bank by the same percentage of time. And those folks can take 6 weeks off in the summertime. They can go out and do anything they want to do. They can come in and work overtime. They can call in and say, do you need me? So we will pay them to come in and do that. They feel like they get an opportunity to take some summertime off, spend some time with their kids, do things with their family, all kinds of different things. And we've had some really, really nice feedback from CSRs that are taking advantage of it. So.
Are there any openings there for a guy like me?
Yeah, we can make that happen, I think, certainly.
That sounds pretty good. Thanks, Dennis. I like it. All right.
All right, who is next? Some good ideas. Throw them out there. Okay, here we go. All right, come on up.
Jeremy Spivey, Plato Learning, work with Matt. What we did is we developed an agent recognition program. We call it the STAR program, and it just has stars all over it. What we did is we developed a magnetic whiteboard or got a magnetic whiteboard with magnets with all the agents' names, and we put the names in order of their performance for each of our KPIs. Those agents that meet and exceed those expectations get their names on the board. If you didn't meet it, your name doesn't show up there. So you kind of know who's meeting and exceeding. And you don't know your scores, but we can share the scores individually with the agents and see where they need to improve or where they want to improve. What we've really seen as an outcome of that is agents are driving themselves to perform higher. We're not having to go in and drive agent performance individually and push. They're pushing themselves. They'll come to us in our one-on-ones and say, how can I be better? How can I beat that guy? How can I be number one in that KPI? And so we give out Play-Doh Bucks, an internal rewards program we have. They get trophies, and they get lots of recognition throughout the center and throughout the company as well. So it's just been fantastic for morale. And really, they just motivate themselves. So it's really nice because we don't have to push so hard as we had to in the past.
I like it. Thanks, Jeremy. Yeah. Happy agents equal happy customers.
All right. Who's next? Yes.
Here you go. Thank you. I'm Russ Rossi from New York Life. And one thing that this past year, we incorporate a employee theme of the year. So we have a kickoff once a year where, and I'm going to be speaking tomorrow, so I don't want to steal too much of my thunder for tomorrow. But we have this kickoff where we shut down the call center for half a day and we bring the employees in to an offsite event. It's a lot of fun. The employees have a lot of activities that they're involved in. They're a part of creating a lot of the activities. They have skits and do videos. The one thing that we have them be a part of is trying to develop our theme for the following year. So this past year, our theme has been touching lives. And with life insurance, you can imagine there's some times when it really tugs at your heartstrings when something happens. So every time that an employee is caught with doing something good, so we're all about catching somebody. I saw you smiling. Catching something when they're doing something good. So employee kudos, complimentary letters, performing great, helping out fellow employees in our organization. Whether they, you know, we look at stats, but this is really more on the soft side. Any way that they would touch lives, whether it be a customer base or an employee base, or one out of their way to maybe do some extra voluntary work, we make a big deal out of it. We post it on the walls. We send out a lot of emails. Our vice president will respond to the employees as well and really make a big deal. So touching lives has been a great theme for us, and it really segues into what we do every day with life insurance. You can imagine you have some tough times. So it's been a nice theme for us for the year. I don't know what we're going to come up with next year, but the cool part is the employees come up with that. And I think that's the key of getting that engagement from the employee side. That's our skill. Well, we have committees, and they come together, and they go off and try to figure out and brainstorm what ideas they would like to bring back into the center. So we do a lot of recognition events that are run by the employees. So we'll shut down for, again, I'm talking about some things that may come up tomorrow. We'll shut down our call center for about 45 minutes a month. And we'll run recognition events. We'll talk about people that have great stats, have great customer satisfaction, perfect attendance, and the employees run the whole organization. They run that show. So we just stand back and watch it, and they have everything organized. They have all the stats. They get up there and take turns and bring the employees up and hoot and holler. So it's a good time. But it's really getting them invested in the process.
Thank you. That's very good. Very good one. I'm noticing a common theme that a lot of it is about the employees and even outside of work, you know, keeping these folks happy. That seems to be a common thing, especially in today's business world. That's probably very important. So anyone else? Very good. Excellent. I want the rest of you to be thinking right now. All right.
Hi, I'm Maxine Hubbard with American Family Insurance out of Wisconsin, and we've got St. Joe, Missouri represented here too. One of the things we do is we have a very big, huge organization. So one of our people, they would like to get to know each other. You know, they're stuck in that care center behind that phone. So we have built like teams, fun activities to intermix with our personal lines, our services, our processors, our underwriters, and our. So what we do is we have games. We take a lunchtime and we make multiple. Like we have 15 people, so we'll take teams of four at a time, and we compete at lunch. We work right by a frisbee golf thing, so we team up with somebody like four people from underwriting, and we go at lunch and we take an extra 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then we go and we compete, and we have a friendly competition, and then we have just like in like a playoff, you know, there's awards given and gifts, and it really builds interaction with the whole division, let alone the department and that, and it's a big satisfier with our employees.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good.
Since we're so post-Dane, do you have one that you might have heard?
I do, and this is something I want to share from somebody that attended one of our leadership courses, and one of the managers says he asked two questions of his employees at the end of the year during performance review. What did I do of value for you this past year, and what would you like me to do for you next year? It's really a way of putting some ownership to the agents to recognize that. And he said he's had absolutely great results with that.
Thank you, Dane. Very good. Joe, I saw you reaching for the mic. English, please.
Can't understand these gringos anyway. As you were saying about the games and so forth, and Dane, you emphasized some of that too. This is one of the things that I did, and it was extremely successful from two point of view. Number one, the agents love it, and number two, they were learning also at the same time. Even though I was a director, I took over that project because it was a lot of fun. No manager was going to do it for me. What I did was very simple. I went to Toys R Us. I bought the Jeopardy game. Okay, and I had the supervisors fill up all the different questions and categories, and once a month I had a game where I would have the five top reps be part of it, and then we'll sit in a conference room with this game, and it was crazy. These people were fighting like dogs and cats, okay? And all the questions were related to work, different categories, and different questions to work. Once a month, there was a winner. Once a quarter, there was a winner. And then at the end of the year was a king or queen of Jeopardy. And there were some rewards to that. What came from that was that before the game was even announced for the following month, I already had hundreds of requests for categories, questions about the work that they were doing, how to resolve issues, and it was a blast. I mean, you have never seen reps that they were friends, okay, when they were sitting next to each other being enemies, okay, because, oh, my battery's down, no wonder you won. No. So take that into account because it's a very inexpensive game. I don't know if you have seen it. You can use it on your family, too. Every now and then I took it home and beat the heck out of my wife, but that was a different story. But it's you can use it as an instruction. Most of the time, I have the trainer, the manager in the training department, come up with the questions and the categories, and it was extremely learning. I also learned a lot because I found out that a lot of these reps, they had opposite opinions of the same solution. So we needed to look into something else. So take that into account. It's an extremely fun game to use.
Interesting. Good idea.
Thanks, Joe. Training themselves almost. All right, so we have 5 minutes to go in this. And I want to remind everyone and all the folks that are listening from home, this is live from Las Vegas, the New York Hotel. This is the call center campus. We are coming up with ideas from all over the globe on how to improve the call center and some successes that we've all had. So
I know you've got a good one.
Yeah, I have one, a couple. No, one is we do seasonality, both. Well, obviously, we teach educational software, so we have downtime in the summertime, but also seasonality, just peak volumes during the day. So obviously, teachers call in when they come into school, when they have a break, or after school. So there's downtime during the day. So one of the things we've done is it's an all inbound call center, is asking agents when they have slow time to make a proactive call out. So follow up on a case that you might have completed, look at all the other cases the customer may have, and call out to them to see how it's going and make sure everything that the information they got was effective. And it's a different call for them because it's not a negative call coming in. They're actually rewarding the customer by calling them. And the feedback from the customers are, I can't believe you called me, right? So it's a reward to the agents themselves because they made that proactive call out.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Conant from Plato Learning.
I like that one. Okay, a couple more minutes. Anyone else? We've kind of gone down the road of the employee satisfaction incentive route, which is good. I didn't want to derail anything, so maybe we'll keep going with that.
Yeah, we'll stay on that. It's good. Actually, I was in a center that had an innovative way of getting employees involved in the knowledge management system. It was a situation where you had the employees, the agents, creating things as they were on the phone with the clients. And in some cases, it was the customers who were coming up with the solutions, and they were finding out about it. And so what would happen is they made their agents publishers in their knowledge management system. And they, in fact, said, you're going to be responsible for at least a few what they called articles a year to go into the knowledge management system. That's how theirs worked. And this was an incredible motivator. These people all of a sudden saw themselves as published authors inside their own knowledge management system. And they also had a very good system in terms of taking in the article, having it vetted by a peer group, and then finally approved by somebody who was in charge of the knowledge management system. So it's sort of a way of pulling in that information and not just having it disappear on the call. It all of a sudden gets incorporated into the knowledge management base of the call center. So,
very good. Thanks, Bruce. I think we have time for maybe one or two more, and then we can wrap it up and move on to our next exercise. Was that a wrap, or did you have something? You do? No? Oh, she does. Okay, now she does. Here you go.
Skill matrix. Everybody wants to know how good they're doing. And a very simple tool that's absolutely free for everyone. Get out an Excel spreadsheet. Write all of your team players down the rows. Across the columns, write what skills you want to route them to or what skills you want to develop them with. Of those top 5 or 6 or 8 skills that you want them to learn, instead of just checking off what they're good at, have them actually grade themselves. I'm about a C at PowerPoint slides. No. Your job really needs you to be a B. I'm going to put you in PowerPoint class. Okay, the next person says, I am, and I think I am, an A at Excel. No, you don't do graphs on Excel. So you can actually tone the people and find out specifically what they do, demonstrate what they do, take classes in what they do, and it could be a one-page career development plan. What I got, what I need, and how good I am at it. And everybody wants to get to an A in proficiency. Skill matrix.
I love it. Skill matrix. Even has a good name to it. We appreciate everyone sharing with us this evening. Dee?
Well, earlier someone was talking about sales, and you know, one of the things that we all need to understand is when you're doing service, if you can cross-sell, upsell, or help someone have better knowledge about the products and services that you are providing, you're doing a good thing for the customer. And a lot of times they'll come in and they'll say, well, you know what, I applied for a service job, not a sales job. But one of the things that I did in the center is I did a 2020 club. I needed leads, and I was starting a sales team at that time, but I needed leads. So what I did with the 2020 club, if you gave me 20 qualified leads, I gave them a $20 gift certificate at the end of the week for Kroger, which is a grocery store in our area. And I had people standing in line waiting for their every Monday they wanted their gift certificates. But the thing is, I build up a bank, and that sales team is very live and effective today.
Thanks, Dee. Very good insight from the days of MetLife. Well, see anyone else? Last call, going once,
going twice. What do we have? How many do we have? You've been keeping track? Okay, let's one more. Come on, I know you guys have it out there. One more. Think deep in there. What have you done or your sinner has done? Remember, this is broadcast to the world.
No pressure. Thanks a lot. Kelly Ramos with American Family Insurance. And one of my goals last year was to better explain our mission, vision, and values to my employees. And as we have new employees start, they have to fill out something saying that they understand what those mission, vision, and values are. It prompted me to think that maybe the team could celebrate a value every month. So I asked them to divide up into teams to choose a value. We celebrated a value every month, and each week they had to come up with an activity. And by the time we got to the fourth month, the pressure was just unbelievable, because every week, every month, the celebration got bigger and bigger and bigger. And at the end of each month, I always shake when I talk. At the end of each month, they also had to write a mission statement and explain what that value meant to us as a person, as a team, and to our customer. And we had so much fun with it. They so exceeded my expectations that we do stuff like that all the time. So it was really fun.
Kelly, give me a hug. Give me a hug, because that was really nice.
Thanks for sharing. All right. Well, we can probably wrap that up. I do want to thank everyone for sharing your call center's achievements and your successes, pearls of wisdom, each and every one of them. And hopefully that'll help you in your individual situation with your center. So give yourselves a big round of applause to all the people listening in.
Well, it looks like we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the call center campus from Benchmark Portal. I do want to thank all of our attendees, as well as our guest speakers, who really made this event possible. From what I can tell, there's been a wonderful sharing of ideas, and we hope that we've been able to share some of those ideas with you, our listeners of Call Talk. I want to remind you that we do have more shows in our archive section at benchmarkportal.com. Feel free to do a search and see what interests you, and take some time to listen in on some other best practices for you and your call center. I'm Brian Carrington, live from the New York Hotel and Casino here in Las Vegas, Nevada, reminding you to keep those headsets ready and your fingers steady.